This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
From the occasional sweet as a reward to the endless sugar available at birthday parties, junk food has become a significant part of children's diets. But when they are bombarded with it, both in person and with advertising online, what impact does the eating of junk food have on their brains? Dr. Harriet Schellekens, Senior Lecturer, Department of Anatomy and Neuroscience at UCC, has just completed a study on this and joins us to bring us through the findings. But first, our reporter, Sarah Madden, has been asking the public their thoughts.
Wow, every 4 minutes sounds like a lot. It's a concern.
It's like, I want a treat, I want ice cream, I want everything.
It's targeting them, and it's also in an apparently healthy way, and hidden sugars are a real challenge, I think, that they have now.
Do you think it's difficult for parents to keep kids on the straight and narrow when it comes to healthy eating in that environment?
Well, I imagine it would be. I mean, I'm sure all kids are influenced about things, so food's no different.
Well, it's all designed to appeal to your palate, so absolutely.
Would it impact you?
Oh, of course it does. I have a packet of biscuits here.
Sugar is the big problem. They're just constantly craving sugary snacks.
Yogurts that are supposed to be healthy that are filled with sugar, and the cereals that are breakfast cereals, but it's basically having a bar for your breakfast, where you have a row about Cocoa Pops versus porridge for breakfast.
I think there definitely should be better parameters around things, and I also think that should be limiting of amount of time kids spend online as well, so maybe down to parental controls as well.
We kind of give our daughter a little bit of freedom and trust on the internet, and she doesn't really demand or ask anything regarding like junk food or that.
There's two schools of thought. One is it's really good to see loads of junk food and understand how to make sensible decisions around it without being impacted, and another one is, do we need to be like on small minds, basically moulding them from an early place? But then I think the internet and social media is crazy for kids on every level, so I have no idea how people parent in this day and age.
And that was Sarah Madden there talking to the public about their views on kids and healthy eating. And of course, this comes after research sees children are seeing junk food marketing every 4 minutes online. And as I said, I am joined now by Harriet Schellekens, Doctor and Senior Lecturer at the Department of Anatomy and Neuroscience at UCC. Harriet, your research on all of this, tell us your main findings.
Good afternoon. Delighted to be here. So, yes, I'm with UCC and also a funded investigator with APC Microbiome Ireland. And that's where the research took place. So what this study showed was that early diet, and especially high fat, high sugar diet, may do more than just influence the body weight in the short term, but that it really may shape how the brain's appetite systems develop. So what we did, this was actually a laboratory mouse study, because we do these studies in mice to help us to understand underlying biology in a controlled way. And what we showed was that early exposure to early life high fat, high sugar diet, which is representative of these unhealthy high sugar, high fat combinations, really primes for later life excessive preferences for these unhealthy foods. So that means that if we had a control group that's never seen these high fat, high sugar foods, later in life, they, when you give them high fat, high sugar, they prefer them at a normal level. But the group that had the high fat, high sugar exposure early in life and was then just placed on normal diet and see the high fat, high sugar food again, they had excessive preference for it. And not only was it in the behavior of increased intake of these high fat, high sugar foods, but we also saw changes at the level of the brain.
Okay. So from what you're saying, the earlier you give kids these ultra processed foods that are high in fat and sugar, you're almost honing their tastes from that point. You're developing a taste. They develop a taste for it so that when they come across the same types of high fat, high sugar later on in their lives, they're mad for it. They're crazy for it.
Exactly.
Tell us about what it's doing to their brain, though.
So now eating behavior is very complex and you can look at taste receptors on the tongue. But what we really were interested in is a small brain region that's called the hypothalamus, which is on the underside of the brain. And it's really, you can consider it the thermostat of the body. It is able to regulate energy intake and is the first port of call for signals from the periphery, including gut hormones that govern appetite. And this is developed early in life. So what we showed is that if there is exposure to high fat, high sugar diet early in life, that this has consequences to changes in expressions of appetite genes that are still there later in life, even in the absence of the diet.
So what we're feeding our kids is modifying the taste center in their brain and programming them for later life.
We looked at the appetite genes in the hypothalamus and we found that they were altered in later in life, even in the absence of the diet.
This is making parents around the country that are prone to giving their children chicken nuggets and a few jellies, it's freaking them out. Can anything be done about this? If that's how the brain responds and that, so if you have already given your child high fat, high sugar food and maybe quite a lot of it, is there any way back for parents now that might be kind of going, God, I didn't realize this was going to be a big deal, that I didn't know this was going to affect them in later life. I didn't know any of this. What can they do?
So I'm a parent myself as well. I have three children from the ages of 7 to 12, and I was listening to some of the comments, and I see the same things. My children ask for sweets and unhealthy foods on a regular basis, much too often. But what this research has also shown, so that was initially what started me on this quest as such. But what we also show is that these changes may not be fixed and they are irreversible. What we did in the same study is we looked at the gut microbiome. So we looked at the microbes that live inside our gut, and they have a really important function in fermenting our foods to generate beneficial metabolites. And they also seem to be able to play an important role in how appetite is governed. So in addition, in our research, we also supplemented the animals that had early life high fat, high sugar exposure with two microbiota targeted approaches. One was a high fiber and the other one was a specific strain. And both these treatments were able to prevent the detrimental effects of the early life high fat, high sugar exposure later in life on behavior. So there was no excess, there was preference for the high fat, high sugar food.
Prefer the high fat, high sugar from what I'm learning. Yes, but some of us prefer it hugely. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the nuance. That's the difference. And so that was completely normalized when with these two supplementations. And also at the level of the hypothalamus, again, we saw a normalization of some of those gene expression pathways. So this shows that early life is a window of vulnerability, but also a window of opportunity, and the microbiota may play a role here.
Okay, so giving our kids things like fiber, which would be things like vegetables and grains and all that kind of stuff when they're small, is obviously really important. But if you have missed the boat, have you literally just missed the boat? There's no way of clawing this back.
I don't want to say that. I think we need to do much more research on that. We know that small changes can make a big difference. And this is not about banning treats or blaming parents. Children are obviously growing up in a food environment where these options are everywhere and they're heavily marketed. But
well, I was going to say, if small kids eating these ultra-processed, high-fat, high-sugar diets, if it has such an impact on their future eating, their future behaviour, probably their future obesity or otherwise, all of that. This result today that we're hearing, that they're being marketed these very kind of high fat, high sugar junk foods every 4 minutes online. That's a real concern, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a real concern. And I think we have a duty to look at policies that will address those issues. Now, I also, from an easier aspect, like to talk to my children and like to help them understand what they put in their body is going to not only help them now, but also is going to impact them later in life. So I always use an analogy of the bridge. My middle son, Callum, he is, I have a daughter, Ellie, and Aidan, the eldest son. My Callum, he's a fan of engineering, so he builds bridges. And we were talking about the material, and I say to him, you need to build a bridge that will help you grow up healthy in adulthood and in older age. And it is really important, the types of food, the types of building blocks that you put in your body to build the strongest bridge. And the microbes play a really strong, important role. They're kind of the builders that help you build a strong body, help you build this strong bridge.
Look, thank you very much. That is Dr. Harriet Shelikins there, Senior Lecturer at the Department of Anatomy and Neuroscience at UCC. Love to know what you make of all of that, because I have four kids and I know they've ate plenty of nuggets and junk and treats and everything in their infancies. Love to know what people think out there about what they are feeding them, what they should be feeding them.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.